Last week when you heard the snow coming, how did you respond? Well, weather forecasters try their very best to predict possible worst situation that may happen. Of course, it's very wise for us to prepare whatever may happen, right? With godly wisdom, the Lord prepares us for possible disaster. We do not need to panic buying and not entertain any foolish complacency too. Did you panic buying last week? We prayed for safety. We prayed for safety for everyone, and praise God, God answered our prayers. We survived. And after the storm, there's strong rain. There's a threat of pandemic, threat of economic crisis, threat of international conflicts. And they still linger on. We still hear them. Are you still scared of the pandemic? Natural calamities and man-made calamities should not be ignored. These are situations where God tests our faith. Even today, there's this forecast of strong rain, and maybe when you get out of your home, it's raining, and it tests also faith. Would I go to the church and get wet, or just sit next to my TV and have this cozy hot chocolate or hot coffee? Do you expect that your faith in the Lord will is always tested? Do you expect your faith to be tested? When will testing of faith stop? Today we'll talk about that. But how do you know that your faith in God is active? How do you know that you are not cheating yourself? You are not deceiving yourself, that your faith is not dead. How do you know that? Active faith produces godly righteousness. This godly righteousness, as product of faith, we should not force it. Abraham had practically exemplified how faith in God produced righteousness. Abraham is the father of all who have faith in God. You consider Abraham your forefather, your father. It says in Romans chapter 4, verse 16 to 17, let's read this together, meditatively, to those who have faith in of Abraham, he is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God. Here is a practical example how Abraham practices faith in God. Many years after he sacrificed Isaac, when he grew old, he was very old, so he instructed his senior servant, it's time for Isaac to get married. How old was Isaac then? I think he was almost, he was 40 years old. Almost 60 years old. Almost 60 years old when his sons Jacob and Esau were born. Well, he instructed the senior servant, get a wife for Isaac, get a wife for my son Isaac from my relatives. You go to where I came from, go to the Philippines. No, it's not Philippines, in Aram Naharaim. You go to Aram Naharaim, where my brother is living now. Nahor, my brother is living in Aram Naharaim. He learned that because he heard that Nahor had many children too. So he learned that Nahor, the brother of Abraham, had also his family. So he told his senior servant, go to the east, to Aram Naharaim. And his servant traveled. He came to the town of Nahor, the brother of Abraham, and he rested near a well. There's a well where women draw water, where they draw water. And the servants of Abraham prayed for success. Now, have you ever experienced carrying water? Someone said, if you experience carrying water, you know the value of every drop of water. Here in Canada, we just waste water because we have a lot of water. But anyway, near the well where the women draw water, the servant prayed for success. He prayed. He said in Genesis chapter 24, verse 12 to 14, let's read this together. Lord God of my master Abraham, make me successful today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a young woman, please let down your jar, that I may have a drink. And she says, drink, I'll water your camels too. Let her be the one who had chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Of course, when he prayed, he did not vocally say that. Of course, if women are there, they would have heard. So he prayed in her heart. He prayed in her heart silently. And before he was able to finish his prayer, there was that Rebecca coming out from water, and he said, please give me a drink. And exactly what Rebecca said, drink and I will water your camels too. Why was that? Why that very, very tough requirements for a woman? When you give a drink, one cup of water, that's easy, right? But to water the 10 camels, going down to the well, carry in your shoulder a jar of water, and then put in the drinking trough for the camels to drink. That is very, very tough. How many times did Rebecca go down and up and let the camels drink? Camels can drink a lot of water. How many gallons can camel drink? They can drink as much as 10 gallons of water or more than. But of course, it did not say that she watered the camel until they are very full, maybe just to have their thirst be satisfied. Anyway, that was a very good servant. He was a very good servant. He prioritized things that are favorable to his master. He said, by this I will know that you have shown kindness. He said, not to him, to me. He did not say that. He said, shown kindness to my master. He was praying for his master. And this is one example why employees are to pray for their employers. The more the servant served Abraham well, the more he was blessed. Now imagine, he brought with him 10 camels filled with many good things, gold, silver, and many things. Camel in those times are considered the most precious car in our generation. What is precious car in this generation for the rich people? Let's say, maybe Lamborghini, Ferrari, or something like that. If for example, the cheaper one, 100,000 a car, times 10, that's already $1 million, right? He could have lived on his own. The servant could have been very rich, and yet he obeyed Abraham and returned to Abraham, bringing the wife of Isaac. That was a very good servant, very good servant. It was by God's grace, I believe, that that he blessed Abraham with faithful servants. That is. Now the Lord answered the prayer of the servant, and actually he praised God, praised the God of Abraham. The servant may have seen how Abraham practices faith in God, and he may have heard how Abraham prayed. So when he prayed to the God of Abraham for success, God answered him according to his prayer. This is the thing I want. I prayed many times something like that. When we went to mission, I prayed like, Lord, I don't want to go to mission, but if you allow me to have at least 1,000 prayer partners, we will go. That was my prayer. I didn't ask for just 100, just 500. No, I want 1,000. When I counted those people who committed to pray with us, it's more than 1,000 who prayed with us when we were in missions. And I was I confirmed that he called us to missions. And I can tell you a lot of those things. One of the most wonderful experiences we have as a family, actually, is our 30-month stay in mission. 30 months, exactly 30 months. We went out of the Philippines July 7, 2005, and we arrived in the Philippines January 6, 2008. So if you count that, that's 30 months. When the servant prayed to the God of Abraham, God answered him according to his prayer. But in this situation, how did Abraham practice his faith in such situation? What do you think? Reflect on this possibility. Abraham's faith includes that God would make his servant successful. He trusted God that God would make this servant successful. That was how he practiced his faith. Abraham expected God answered the prayer of his servant to be successful. He was indeed successful. Our personal experience is best practical proof if we claim to have faith in God. We just don't claim it and deceive ourselves. No, I have faith in God, and just don't go on our way. No, we need to prove that we have faith in God. God knows those who have faith, but we don't know if we are just deceiving ourselves. In verse 8, let's read verse 18 and 19. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe, verse 19, you believe that there is one God? Good. Even demons believe and shudder. When it says you believe there is one God, good, even demon and believe that shudder. That statement indirectly declares that anyone can claim to have faith. May it be church attendees or bad elements in the society. They can say, I have faith in God. Well, our question is, what do they believe? What do they believe? What God they believe? It is not necessarily mean that they believe in the same God that we believe as Christians. What they believe? Oh, you group of people, you religious people, you believe in God, we have God, we have the same God. How do you know you have the same God? The word God is the same, but what they believe as God is something else. How can we know about what they believe? Know about their belief. Know about their doctrine. What is their teaching about their God? Is their God loving God or God who is harsh God? The very basic doctrinal statement that we believe about God is stated in the membership handbook of the Maples Evangelical Church. And this is why church membership class is very necessary requirement before anyone is accepted to church membership. Now, here is something that I think it caused problem to the leaders before. This church was split. And then, of course, when they started their own church, they are not anymore church members here, right? But those who went and started their church returned. Did they take membership class? Again, no. This is why they caused chaos again. So those who went out and leave the church and say, we don't want to be a member of the church anymore, when they return, they will take membership again, membership class again. Why? It could be that they did not understand what they believe, what doctrine they believe when they came the first time. The second time, we hope that they would understand. Membership class is very necessary. Why? Why is it? It is very wise decision, personal decision to know the church doctrines, to know the belief before commitment to church membership. Or even if you go to a different organization, what is the doctrine of this organization? You need to know what they are teaching. It is not because your friend is there, it's not because your relative is there that you join that organization. You need to know what they believe, what doctrine they teach, what doctrine they follow. If it is according to your will, to your desire, then go ahead. As a church, as member of this local church, the Maples Evangelical Church, our congregational goal is to have unity in faith, unity in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. Without unity, there is disunity, there is chaos, there is split, because they cannot understand, they just cannot agree with our doctrine. This is why they move out. No problem about that. We pray. Don't feel bad if they move out. We pray that God would use them in a very special way wherever they go. That should be our prayer. Don't feel bad because they leave us. You praise God because they would be using them where they would be right now. And may God, the kingdom of God, would spread, would grow, would be. And it is a challenge for each of us to test our faith. Do I have that faith in the Lord? Or I have faith in my leaders, in my pastor, in my relatives, in my friends? Check your faith. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, let's read this meditatively and reflect on it. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, that is something else. People can say they are mature, but maturity, the prerequisite of maturity is to have that unity. So if they cannot agree with unity, something like that, I have unity with my friends. No, that's not what they are talking about. In the body of Christ. And then that's when we mature, we grow mature. And then we want to reach, to attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. All believers, we are essential parts of the body of Christ, the church. Each of us, we have our function. Every part is significant. We have significant function. We have part in the church, work of service. In church ministries, we have different church ministries. They are a great opportunity to practice our faith. And as we practice faith in Christ, we mature spiritually. So get involved in church ministries. Are you involved yet? Pray about that. Pray. It is very advisable for church members to pray sincerely. Pray like, Lord, help me grow mature spiritually. Help me grow mature spiritually. Help me know how I may participate actively in church ministries. Don't just try to, oh, I want to be there because my friend is there. I want to be there because my relative is there. No, pray about it. But for starters, you may not be very, very sure yet. Which ministry is right for me? Which ministry is right for you? You are not very sure yet. So what can you do if you are not very sure yet? Now, try to know all the ministries and sense if you are attracted, if you are interested in a particular ministry, if you have that desire, if you have that wish to learn from it, then participate, get involved in that ministry. Like for example, you are thinking to become a power engineer. What is power engineer? Those who take care of. Bahala na kayong mag-discover kung anong power engineer. Ask Kuya Oka, Kuya Ruli. They know that. And you come. How could I be a power engineer? You come and clean. Clean the sanctuary. Clean the washroom. Cleaning the washroom is not that easy, actually. You need to mix chemicals. That mixing of chemicals, which the appropriate ratio of it, so that the chemical would not be wasted and you do not also destroy the floor, you need to know that. And how you would apply that on the floor to make it shine, make it clean. You need to know that. There is knowledge for that. Oh, you think it's just cleaning something like pushing the broom or the mop? That's not. That is just the physical work. There's that mental work too. And how you would keep yourself safe so that you would not be affected by the chemicals. Those things you need to learn. And helping in this church, in that ministry, can help you prepare in that. So discover also, if that particular ministry inspire you to praise and thank God, keep on. Like for example, it's not only about singing that you would praise God. You can sing while cleaning. You can sing while preparing for example, if we have fellowship, if fellowship will return, you can sing while shoveling snow or giving out flyers or bulletin. You can sing in your heart. You do not need to let your voice come out if you are embarrassed, and discover your spiritual gift. Lord, help me discover my spiritual gift. If you know your spiritual gift, you will certainly enjoy ministry involvement where your spiritual gift fits in. If your spiritual gift is teaching, you would love to teach. You would love to teach. But here's a warning. Warning, warning, warning. There's burnout. There's frustration. There's disappointment. There's discouragement in the ministry. It's very real. Real, real, real. Many pastors have been burned out and quit. Avoid forcing the issue of ministry involvement. Don't try, I want to be involved. Baka sabihin na naman ako ni pastor. Baka marinig ko na naman yung sermon ni pastor. If you are compelled to do that, pray. Pray, Lord, why am I hearing this? And there's this resistance in my heart. When you are resisting, it means God is calling you. But you need to pray that God would fill you with the Holy Spirit. And don't try to impress others. Don't try to, I need to go and stand there and sing. Ganda ng boses ni Kuya Louie. Kailangan, ganun din gawin ko para marinig ako ng ano, aking girlfriend. Invite mo yung girlfriend mo, kakanta ka, mag-special number ka para marinig yung boses mo to impress your girlfriend. No, don't do that. Be prayerful instead. Pray like, Lord, make it clear to me which ministry you want me to glorify your name. Let every involvement be an opportunity for you to express your gratitude, your praise to the Lord, and glorify His name. Why is that? Because your involvement also can earn eternal treasures. Now, for you who are working, you know what treasure is. It's hard to work. It's hard to earn. In heaven, are you sure you would have eternal treasure? Church ministries are opportunities for members to practically apply what we believe as congregation at personal level within a church setting. How is that? Now, I said a while back, if you are cleaning here in the church, you enjoy cleaning, but pagdating sa bahay, anak, maghugas ka nga doon. Ako na naman, si kuya naman. Ako na naman, si ate naman. Ako na naman, si iyan naman. Lagi lang ako. Ako na lang na ako. Bakit kung nasa church ka, kumakanta ka pa, naghuhugas doon sa lababo? It should be our manner. Like for example, teaching Sunday school. We teach Sunday school with gladness. Because gustong-gusto mo yung participation ng yung estudyante. And yet, pagdating sa bahay, ay, makinig. Hindi mo nagagawa ang pagtuturo mo sa Sunday school sa mga anak mo. How you teach in Sunday school should reflect how you teach your children. If you are very accommodating to your students, accommodate your children much more. Participation in VBS, for example, Vacation Bible School. Now again, reminder, mayroong meeting mamaya. They can have similar participation in school events. If there's school events, you can participate. There's group activities at workplace, you participate. If there's home gathering, there's participate. Don't just be an observer or audience. Community event, participate if it is enticing for you. In everything we do within church setting or outside church setting, we've got to make sure that we are always filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Don't just get involved and that's it. No. First pray, Lord, fill me, empower me, Lord. I want to experience more of you in this activity. Pray to be empowered by the Holy Spirit when you participate in the ministry. Why? Why do we need to do that? Is it not expected that when we are inside a church setting, the Holy Spirit will be here? The Holy Spirit is here, but are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Whatever we do as Christians, frustration, discouragement, disappointment are always there. They are realities. But when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, we've got the fruit of the Spirit. What are the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, we need, especially when we are, now, parents, this is something for you. Kung makulit na ang bata, you need self-control. You need patience, right? Pray to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me. Keep praying until you sense that love, until you sense that joy, that peace, that self-control. Keep praying. And we avoid frustration, disappointment, discouragement. In whatever we do, participate in ministries or wherever we are. Many times we forget This is why we keep on reminding each of us. You go to the grocery store, maraming makukulit, right? But when you pray for to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you can easily smile and even help. Truly, it's great to enjoy what we practice when we practice faith in God and participate in church ministries. When we enjoy it, it's great, right? It's not very great when you go and, ako na naman gagawa nito. If that attitude, pray and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Certainly when we sense the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it also certifies that our involvement in the ministry or whatever we do, it would be credited as righteousness before God. That is the fruit of faith. Godly righteousness, because it's the Holy Spirit, it's God who worked in us. Let's read again verse 20 to 24. Let's read meditatively. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. The Lord sees through our heart, sees through our mind. He knows if you and I has active faith or not. He knows that. Without any hint of doubt, Abraham believed God, and the Lord credited to him as righteousness. Faith that produced godly righteousness originated from God. It comes from God. God knows the believer who trusts in him. In genuine faith comes from him. He knows who have faith because faith, the gift of faith, genuine faith, comes from him. He knows the person he has given faith. Were you able to receive faith from God? Well, someone may ask, if such is true and accurate, why does the Lord still test our faith in him? If God knows if I have faith, why does he need to test my faith? Do you know why? Remember when God instructed Abraham to offer Isaac as burnt offering? It was the greatest test for Abraham's faith. That was the greatest test for Abraham. After that, you cannot read if God tests his faith again. No. Few chapters later, Abraham had died. There was not much story about him anymore. For the rest of his life, after that testing, how old was Abraham when his faith was tested to offer Isaac? Most probably he was 116 to 130, something like that. And he died at 175. If Isaac was 30 years old at that time, and he lived still 45 years, but those 45 years, there were only very silent years, except for that time when he sent his servant to get a wife for Isaac. Maybe those times were the times he enjoyed his apu, Jacob and Esau. Those were the times when he enjoyed being with them or his other sons, because after Sarah died, Abraham married again and had six other sons. Now, that greatest test of faith, it says in It is stated in Genesis chapter 22, verse 6 to 8. Let's read this part. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offerings and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire in the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said. "But where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. Now, of course, the wood for burnt offering that Isaac carried, it was not just few little sticks, right? What do you think? Is it few little sticks that Isaac would carry with his two hands? There was this show in the TV. I don't know if you were watching this. They were sending 2 years old on an errand. Have you watched that movie? Show? What's the title of it? Old Enough. What's that? It's so cute. How old is Kate? Almost 2 years, right? Yeah. Just imagine, or how old is she? Yeah, they are almost the same age. Just imagine these two little girls tell and their parents, "Go buy me a Tim Horton coffee." And what for that? Just imagine that. And they were making show. And I don't know if somebody would file a complaint and say that's child abuse. I don't know. But anyway, going back to Isaac, it was not that little people. Because he carried wood for burnt offering. You need much wood for offering, right? To burn, to cook. So, what does it imply that Isaac carried the wood for burnt offering? It suggests that Isaac was not little child anymore. Just like many pictures that you would be seeing in the internet, Abraham offered Isaac as a burnt offering, and they make a picture there that with a little child as offering. No. Isaac was strong enough to carry that wood for burnt offering. I mean, he was stronger than his father. That was why he was the one who carried it. Anyway, when Isaac inquired about the lamb for burnt offering, Abraham said that God will provide. Indeed, God honored his faith. He provided ram for burnt offerings. See, Abraham didn't argue. He didn't complain. Didn't ask for clarification. "Lord, why am I offering Isaac as burnt offering when you already gave it to me?" He didn't ask, see? Why is that? When Isaac was born, Abraham was already 100 years old, and Sarah was 90 years old. Those ages, they are old, very old, and in the eyes of Abraham, they were good as dead. They were good as dead because they were already old. They do not expect that. That those eights would give birth. So Abraham was determined to sacrifice Isaac because he believed that if God can cause old people to have a child, he easily brings back to life a dead person. Anyway, his willingness to sacrifice Isaac, that was the ultimate test of Abraham's faith. And the Lord did not test his faith again after that. And Abraham enjoyed the rest of his life. What lesson can we learn from Abraham's willingness to obey God? See, Abraham was very rich materially. And his son was the most precious to him. Isaac was the most precious to him. when God required him to sacrifice his most precious son, Abraham obeyed without any hesitation. Abraham had proven that God is most precious to him more than anything else. Meaning, Abraham loved the Lord more than his precious son in material wealth, even did not consider how Sarah would react after that. If Sarah had known that he would be offering Isaac as burnt offering, Sarah would have been crying in pain and pleading, "Abraham, no, no, but I don't know." But it did not say. Did not see those drama. Now for us, if we claim to have faith in God, our faith will be tested for sure. Wait for that. Your faith will be tested. Wait for that. How sure are you that your faith in Christ is active? How sure are you that you have faith in Christ? That your faith is not dead? Make sure that you grow mature as a disciple. That is your aim. I want to grow as a disciple for me to make sure that I have faith in God. In Luke chapter 14, verse 26 to 27, the Lord Jesus said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own lives, such a person cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Listen carefully before you react. The English term hate was exaggerated, which can be properly translated as lesser love. Why is that? Why just don't say lesser love outright? It's in their culture, in the culture of the Hebrew people. The Lord did not command us to hate our loved ones. Did he? Did the Lord command us to hate our loved ones? It says there, if anyone comes to me and does not hate, but he was not commanding us to hate. He did not. Faith in Christ includes trust in him what is best. We trust him that he knows what is best for us. He knows what's best for our loved ones. And when we prioritize him, prioritize Christ over our loved ones, we trust him that he performs what is best for us and what is best for our loved ones. By faith, we trust the Lord that he provides everything we need for righteous life that loved ones cannot provide for us to live righteous life. Question for everyone personally. Do you love Jesus Christ more than your father and mother? Do you love Jesus Christ more than your wife? Do you love Jesus Christ more than your children? Do you love Jesus Christ more than your siblings, your brothers, your sisters? If you love Jesus Christ more than you love them, he knows it for certain. But do you know? Do you know if you love him more than your loved ones? Practically, when we love Jesus Christ, it is also manifested in our love and care for loved ones, right? It reflects. See, God knows that, he knows that Isaac was very precious to Abraham and Sarah. If Isaac died, it will be very painful to Sarah. God knows that. God knows that Sarah would be terrified or would be very painful more. So he provided a ram for burnt offering in place of Isaac. And so he blessed Abraham in everything practically. Now many people would say, "Oh, I love my parents." Do you believe that God can give somebody to your parents who could be, who could show love and care more than you do. Can you believe that? If you obey the Lord. Between family and career, just check yourself. This is my career. This is my family. Between your family and career, which of them is more precious to you? Your family or your career? If you choose one, would you leave your career for your family? Or you leave your family for your career, if you can only choose one? If the Lord says, quit your job, quit your career, and go to the seminary, will you obey? Just for the thought. Just think about it. If you love the Lord, if the Lord says, leave your family and serve as missionary in Asia, in Ukraine, Sri Lanka, in Russia, just think about that. Will you go? If you sense that readiness to follow His call and prioritize Him over your job, over your career, over your family, you have matured as disciple of Christ. But if you sense little hint of hesitation in your heart, pray for increase of faith. Lord, increase my faith. Pray until you sense and strongly accept in your heart and mind that the plan of God is best lifestyle you will ever experience on earth. Are you looking for satisfaction and contentment of life? God's plan is what you need to pray. Don't look at those turning points, distraction, detours of your life. It could be that those detours, the Lord is leading you to His will. If you are praying, Lord, what is your will for me? What is your plan for me? Let me follow that path. If you are praying for that, surely, if you are taking a different direction, He would let you fail in that area, so to redirect you to the direction He wants you to be. God blesses cheerful obedience to Him. God does not force anybody to obey Him. Remember that God does not force anybody to obey Him. He wants cheerful obedience. He wants that those who obey are filled and empowered by His Holy Spirit. Those are the people, those are the disciples, those are the believers that He wants, that He blesses. Now, if you are forcing yourself just to follow the Lord, expect you would be frustrated, you would be disappointed, you would be discouraged. So don't force the issue. When active faith produces obedience to Him, that is what God considers as righteousness, godly righteousness. Let's read again verse 24 and 26. In the same way, was not even Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Now, before the Israelites entered the Canaan, Joshua sent spies on Jericho, and Rahab gave lodging to the Israelites and spies, and she helped them escape. Why? Now, dismiss though. Did you know that according to scholars, that one of the spies named Salmon became the husband of Rahab? Did you know that? It could be na nagwapuhan siya. I don't know. That is just my opinion. It's not biblical. Well, let's go back. Because what she did, it was credited to her as righteousness. And how's that? Did Rahab even think that she could be punished to death if the king of Jericho found out that she helped the spies escape? Of course she knows that. Certainly she knows it. That's for sure. So what caused Rahab to help the Israelite spies at the expense of her life? Now, the house of Rahab was annexed to the city wall. It was yung bahay ni Rahab, one of the wall of her house is the city wall. So she is wise, tipid ano, sa construction. Hindi na kailangan ng isang wall na patayo. But why is that? She was ostracized in the society because she was a prostitute. So her own people may not have open arms to her. So she had not many friends. So she helped the Israelite spies with the hope of new life. But can you accept that it was God who transformed her, who touched her heart so that she would trust the Israelite spies, that she would trust that the Israelites would spare her life? When God transforms us, we trust him. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10, For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, for which God prepared in advance for us to do. Even the works that we do, it is God who chose that. It's God who prepared for us. It means we need to know our spiritual gift. That spiritual gift leads us to the ministry we are to get involved. But by faith, faith that comes from God, we admit we are sinful. We admit we need God. We accept eternal punishment for sin is hell. It is only by faith that people believe that there is eternal hell. Without faith, you cannot believe that there's eternal punishment. By faith, we believe that. And by faith, we agree that we cannot do anything to save ourselves. By faith, we believe that no human being can save themselves from hell. Therefore, we need Savior. By faith, we know that we need a Savior. And by faith, we believe that Jesus Christ was crucified for believers to be saved from eternal punishment of sin in hell. Jesus Christ is Savior to all who believe and trust him. And all of us who believe, God freed us from the penalty of sin so that we are free to live in godly righteousness. That is our freedom, to live in godly righteousness. God has designed that all believers will grow mature until we all attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We need the fullness of Christ. Why is that? Why do we need to grow like Christ? To be more like Christ. Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 19, out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with the power through his spirit in your inner being. Remember that. So that Christ may dwell in your heart. Is Christ is in your heart? Through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of the fullness of God. If Jesus Christ dwells in our hearts, the Holy Spirit produces fruit of love. So make sure that you have the Holy Spirit of Christ in your life. Make sure to know that love, joy, peace, patience. Regularly check your heart, your life. When godly love overflows in our lives, the love of Christ will become more meaningful and desirable for us, so that we like to have a lifestyle that would reflect godly love. We choose that. And we cheerfully obey the Lord. When the Holy Spirit produces love in us, we love to obey the Lord. When the Holy Spirit produces joy in us, we are joyful, we are cheerful to give our service for tithes and offering. We have peace even when there's economic crisis. Are you disturbed with the economic crisis? Are you disturbed by the pandemic? Are you disturbed by the conflict? Check your heart. If still disturbed, pray, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit until you sense that peace in your heart. No amount of preaching can convince anybody to cheerfully obey the Lord. Now it's springtime. Are you excited driving in splashy road? I like the rain, but I don't like this splashy road without the rain. I don't like that. Or driving behind another vehicle. You're driving. How far are you driving behind a vehicle? 3 seconds distance. The windshield of your car will gather dirt, especially when you are driving at 60, 70, 80, 90 kilometers per hour. Maybe 40 kilometers, not so much. If you slow down to give distance between you and the car you are following, somebody will overtake you and again take the space you provided. Again, you need to slow down again. And another vehicle will overtake you again. You do not want to be overtaken. You do not want to get late. So you keep pace with the vehicle next to you. And you are forced to use your wiper. And if it's not raining, you are forced to use your wiper fluid. Make sure that you have wiper fluid. One time I was driving at Portage, I didn't check the wiper fluid. And then I don't have wiper fluid anymore. I need to look for a place where I can buy before I can reach my destination. And that was many years ago. I learned my lesson. I learned my lesson that springtime comes, I need to be very sure that I have wiper fluid. Similarly, if we follow very closely, listen, if we follow very closely to worldly pattern of lifestyle, very soon our spiritual vision would be very blurry. We cannot see the Lord where the Lord leads us. By faith we believe that the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross washed away our sins. But since we're still living in this world, we are forced to follow the worldly traffic of life that may cause us to sin. Sin causes us not to see clearly spiritual realities. We have to repent of our sins. It says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 to 10, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and this world is not in us. When we confess our sin, the Lord wipes away our sinful dirt in us. Our spiritual vision would be much more clearly. We realize we can see the beauty of following our Lord Jesus Christ. If you cannot see that yet, it could be that your vision, spiritual vision, had been dirted, had a lot of dirt. And confession of sin is practical proof of faith in the Lord. Yes, when you ask the Lord to forgive us, that is also practical proof of faith. Do you have clear vision of the spiritual path where the Lord is leading you personally? Do you have? Do you know where? This spiritual path is specifically designed for you personally. It is God's call, particularly for you only, not for the other person. So when you're here and listen carefully, make sure that you go home with one lesson in mind to apply, at least one. If you have more, then good. You take note, then better. As for increase of faith, Lord, increase my faith, because lack of faith is sinfulness, and without faith, we cannot please God. So be sure that you have faith. Keep praying for increase of faith until you sense very clearly the spiritual path to God, to His calling for you, that you would be following that path. God's call is where you want you to practice your faith in Him, in His will. He will bless you more than you can dream of if you are in that situation where God wants you to be. There is particular place for you. There is particular situation for you. Ask for that. That is your call. That is God's call for you. Shall we stand up? Bow down your head and ask yourself, what do I know? The clear vision to a spiritual path where Christ is leading me. Now ask the Lord, Lord, help me see the spiritual path you designed for me. Help me know your call. Ask Him. Ask the Lord to increase your faith. Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me for lack of faith. Increase my faith. Keep praying. Keep praying. Ask the Lord, Lord, help me keep praying until I sense the spiritual path where you want me to go. Keep praying. Asking Him to help you pray. God's call is where He wants you to practice your faith in Him. He will bless you even more.